Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, joined by...
it's your boy Mike.
Yeah, it's Mike. Alright, I'm like so thrilled that I'm not like miserably sick again. Yeah, I'm still coarse in the sense that which is a bad thing for me, right? If I talk a lot, mm-hmm. it's like I don't know. It's like I can't, you breathe through your nose. You don't breathe through your mouth, So when I talk a lot, like I can't do both because, excuse me. And of course,
start to cough.
Yeah, like if I talk a little, like I talk too fast, I think, because I'm still congested, like I run out of breath, and then I'm not coughing because I'm like sick. I'm coughing like because I'm sick. I'm like out of oxygen, which is a weird. It's a weird thing, but I'm getting better at it.
Right.
Anywho, it is February 10th, 2015, and we have two topics. Well, I mean, it's more like one topic and then an update on things. So, I will let you run with it because it is your topic.
Great. Oh, yeah, yeah. The day one editions. Day one editions and specific store DLCs. So, like, for Assassin's Creed, I think they had, like, a Target edition, a Walmart edition, and a GameStop edition with, like, separate DLCs, which you could end up buying anyways, but I think it's ridiculous that they had stuff like that
forcing you to choose a store that you want to buy it from.
Yeah, exactly. And it has that stupid like bar above the box that's always going to be there, so and it just looks ugly to me, and I don't like that.
What do you mean bar above the box?
Yeah, like I said, packaging. Yeah, like specific Walmart edition above the box, like exclusive weapon and yeah, but it ends up being DLC that's already on the disc that you can buy anyways.
Right.
Which is frustrating.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think I'm done with day one purchases anyways, but day one editions make no sense to me. You know the Xbox that I bought? The Xbox One that I bought, the bundle? The Call of Duty packaged with it was the day one edition Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Like, it's the one that's printed on the pack, like, on the actual, like, on cover actual... art that says, like, day one edition.
I think I have mine, too.
And I bought that... Call of Duty Advanced Warfare had been out for, like, a little while after I bought that.
Yeah.
So, and what was funny was the box they shipped the Xbox to me in was one of the boxes from the launch, because it had stickers on the box saying, do not sell before the day that it launched. And I was like, really? I was like, come on, guys. It made me a little nervous that my console is actually like a launch one that Newegg's just had in like a fucking warehouse somewhere, because the launch ones had the disk drives that were chewing up disks, so I was nervous.
Oh yeah,
but I'm so far so good. It's actually the one thing, not to like jump off of day one discussions, but the one thing I will say about the Xbox is I feel way more confident in the disk drive on the Xbox One than I do on the PS4.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the PS4, like, doesn't always want to take the friggin' disc when you put it in. And then, like, you're always like, oh, shit, I don't know, did I feed it right? Is it going? Because it doesn't feel, there's no positive grip. Like, but the Xbox One, like, it takes it from you. It's like, yeah, I'm taking this disc, motherfucker.
Right.
I'm going to play this game. I'm going to spin this so hard. But yeah, day one editions. My problem is the benefits are never there for me. Like, I'm not buying the game. I'm not buying the game because I want a thing in the game, right? There's never, like, there aren't any, I can't think of any games, even like way back when, that I bought because it came with something if I bought it when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't care. And you know what? I can give you a perfect example. Remember when I bought Tearaway? And I may have even... I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast. I've definitely talked about it during live streams and every time I talk about why I fucking hate GameStop. But... Or my GameStop. When I pre-ordered Tearaway, so that I could have it day one because I wanted the game. There was pre-order DLC from GameStop, but it wasn't available anywhere else. But I didn't care. GameStop's down the street from me. I figured, well, I'll just pre-order it from them. It's the closest, easy, get it, boom, done. And it was the same day the Xbox One launched, and so I was like, well, can I come and grab it on midnight because you guys will be open? And they were like, no.
Right.
And no. And Media Molecule had already broken the street date, and they were selling it, and the kid at GameStop wouldn't sell it to me. So, and he was, the manager kid was a giant dick about it. And so I went to Target and bought it, and then went back to GameStop and canceled my pre-order. And the kid was all bent out of shape, like, your DLC. And I was like, I didn't give a shit about the DLC. I don't even remember what it was, is how unimportant it was to me. Because I want the game. I don't want a custom gun or, like, extra XP boosts at the beginning of the game. Like, none of that
t-shirt.
Stuff. None of that stuff matters to me. Like, I get pre-orders for, like, collector's editions. Like, the Order 1886 has a pretty rad statue. So, like, I would pre-order it for that, but I would never pre-order a game to have, like, a, quote, day one edition that had, like, perks, in-game perks.
Right. Like, an exclusive outfit, which is not so exclusive, because then it's like, well, now you can just buy it.
Right, if you can, like, that's the thing, because, like, even Halo Master Chief Collection, when I pre-ordered it, because I pre-ordered from GameStop, I got...
it wasn't like boosts or something like that.
Yeah, there was unlimited ammo in Halo 2 Anniversary, I think was what it was. You got, like, the skull for that, rather than just finding the skulls in-game that give you the, like, one-time uses or whatever. But it's one of those things where, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
One, I had to beat the game without infinite ammo back in the day. I think I can handle it. And right, two, exactly. It's not enough of, it wasn't even, like, when he told me what it was, I was like, what? He was like, yeah, you know, your Halo 2 infinite ammo thing. And I'm like, okay. He was like, the code's at the bottom of the seat. Don't forget to enter it. And I was like, okay. Don't care. Yeah. Like, I mean, I entered it because I, you know, entered it. And I have to enter the Dying Light code for the Be a Zombie thing because I didn't realize it was a code you have to enter. Another thing that really frustrates me, if you're giving it to everybody who buys the game, just give it to everybody who buys the game. Do not
right.
Let me
enter. Don't make it a pre-order.
Don't make, not even make it a pre-order. Don't make me enter a stupid code.
Yeah, that just unlocks it on the disc.
Like, why can't there be a thing where if the game unlocks on or before this day, this is included? Like, I feel like the system exists to do that.
Right.
Like, where there's no real day one edition, it's just a day one unlock. If you play this game before this amount of time, you know, before this day passes, you get these freebies. If you play it after those, you don't get them. Like, I feel like it's...
Yeah.
I feel like it should be easier. And I know Microsoft could do it because they know that I played Master Chief Collection during the beginning, and that's why I got the free month of Xbox Live, and I'm going to get ODST for free when it's remastered. Or Reach, whichever one of the two.
It's ODST.
Is it ODST? Yeah, I can't remember. I think it's ODST, though, yeah. You know, so their system knew I played the game on or before that day. I don't know why I have to enter these stupid codes for these stupid things. Like, even Tales of Zillia, for example, I bought because it was a sweet price match because Best Buy had the collector's edition or whatever, the, like, next up from the normal edition was
It came with the, like, art book.
It had the art book and the CD
costumes.
It had some extra costumes, and I was like, I don't, it's such a hassle for me to enter the code for this stupid costume I'm probably never gonna use,
right?
And it's fine, whatever, but it's one of those things where, like, there's never been a perk that I've seen so good I had to make sure I had the game first.
Yeah, exactly.
And because because as we've discussed in the earlier podcasts, the first ones, all the delays and the broken games that have been released, I don't know that I even want to bother buying a new game. Like, I let you buy Dying Light and then waited it out a little bit and waited out everyone else. I mean, there was a part of me that waited it out only because Techland has had a bit of a history with rough releases, so I figured I'd just let it play out, and it was good. So, and then I watched you play the game, and the game looks good, and the game was fun, so I went and I bought the game. I don't think I'm going to, you know, evolve. all the Evolve came out today.
Yep.
And I'm not buying it. Nope. What? I'm not. Yeah, I don't think I was gonna buy it anyways because I was just not impressed. Yeah, it's not that I'm not impressed. It's just it doesn't.
It's not.
I don't know.
It's not that big of a deal to me.
Yeah.
Like I really even played both betas or whatever. And the one time I got in, it froze up on me anyways, and right. I didn't get to play. So I was like, well, you know.
Yeah, like the only times I was ever able to play the beta was by myself. I never actually got to play with my friends, which is the whole point. I mean, unless you want to always be the monster, but nobody wants to be. I mean, I don't want to be the monster.
Yeah. Because either you're OP or...
Yeah, it's just the whole kind of point of games like that for me is to play with friends, you know, like...
Yeah.
One thing I'll say about Dying Light that really annoys me, and this isn't a spoiler, but when you get to the end of the game, or the part before, I guess, the end of the game, because it's like an hour more of content, it pops up a menu saying that you're entering the finale of the game, and you can't play co-op. You have to do it single player.
Well, because it's a cut. It's basically like
I know, it's just a giant, like cutscene.
QT cutscene. That's all it is. I could see why...
I just think it's weird that it, like, specifically is like, hey, the whole game is co-op except for the last part, so, you know, say bye to your friends.
Because I don't think they wanted to render, you know, four people in a QTE cutscene.
Right, no, my thing is they could have just made it for everybody. And it would have been just like, it would have been, you know, like the Resident Evil ones where, like, we both have to hit the mark.
Oh, yeah,
you know, like one of those.
We each have our own little...
Yeah, Chris and Sheva each have to do their thing, and...
Yeah, they could have done that, I guess.
Or it could have been literally identical for everybody, or only the one person who's the host is the one who actually does the QTEs. Which is, it's totally like, I don't care, it's just one of those things where, like, it seems so weird to spend all this time and then be told, like, at the end, like, peace out, friends, like, thanks for carrying me through the game, like... And it's fine. Like my problem is I don't know why that one part where you're in the tunnels though with all the volatiles. Oh, and it starts with the screaming kid. Oh my god, which are the worst. That whole like particular part, I was streaming it last night. I was about to take my PS4 and throw it out the window like a discus. And just huck it into the snow and be like, I am done with this. I couldn't ever, the thing was, every single time I'd start, because I would use this, I finally got the double barrel shotgun. So I would use a double barrel to blast the kid, right? Just to wreck the kid. And then switch to the pick, because you run faster with a one-handed weapon than with a two-handed weapon. And I would just bolt. And when you die... You start back with the pick.
From the kid,
switch to the shotgun fast enough to. So you just have to run to the kid and then calm him down. And I'm air quoting right now. Nobody can see it, but calm down, which is strangle the zombie kid. Like,
oh god, yeah.
Like I give them mad props for being one of the first games I can recall having like zombie kids in it. And but, like, then you do the thing, calm down. And, like, even if you listen carefully, like, Kyle's character is like, shh, 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 as he strangles it. And it's like, it's pretty fucked up, but it's whatever. I mean, I get it. It's kind of refreshing because so many games avoid things like that because it's kind of weird. It's kind of unnerving. But, like, you have to assume in a zombie apocalypse, there's going to be zombie kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, my God, so frustrating. Because you're getting chased by them, and you're just, like, jumping and jumping, and, like, then I'd miss a jump, and there's no there's no checkpoints in that whole scene. You just restart at the beginning, where the stupid kid is.
Yep.
Yeah. I did finally start throwing firecrackers on the ground, and it actually keeps most of the volatiles away.
Oh yeah, they get distracted by the fireworks. Yeah, see, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, at one point I was like, everyone in the stream was like, how do they even expect anyone to do this? And I was like, guys, I'm pretty sure most of it is me. I don't think I'm like it's definitely difficult. I was like, This is probably difficult part of the game I've been in. I was like, but it's not entirely the game's fault. I was like, some of these jumps I'm just missing.
Right, but, yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't bad. It's just one of those things where, like, I also kind of think the double barrel is, like, the volatiles are so OP. Because two hits square with a double barrel it doesn't do anything. Stumbles. They're just like, whatever.
Yeah, they just walk right through it. Yep.
Yeah. But, so day ones, day ones, meh.
Yeah, not a big fan.
I get what you mean, like, why, like, the day one thing on the box. And, like, I maybe.
Like, it's not so much even that, it's just, like, why would you, what's the point of having a day one edition? What does it make it any different from just, you know, releasing a regular version?
Right. Well, the thing I don't get is, like, when you said the day one at Target, the day one at Walmart, the day one at GameStop. I think Little Big Planet 3 was like that. Like, if you got the Target one, it was the plushie, and if you got it at GameStop, it was some sort of DLC, and then there was, like, a Best Buy thing, and my thing is, from a marketing standpoint, do they honestly think people are going to buy, like, 3 copies of games? No, there's got to be no way. They've got to literally be thinking, like, we're dividing up our entire sales market, because there's no way people are going to go buy $120 worth of the same game.
Go to your favorite retailer. Yeah, something like that. Because I've seen people buy like 2 or 3 copies of one game.
I mean,
like, I'm not sure if they're trying to sell it or if they're just, hey.
Right. Well, I mean, I bought Destiny. I had bought Destiny physically and then bought it digitally because I wanted to play it that night and then passed out anyways, and it didn't matter. I just basically wasted $60. But I gave it away during live stream, so it's fine. And I mean, I'm kind of glad I had it digitally because now I can play it on the console through remote play and not have to worry about it. And I did the same with Drive Club because it was cheaper. But if I was getting Little Big Planet, I probably would have gone with the plushie. I would have probably gone with the plushie because the DLC is just not important to me. And if you're a person who's heavy into Little Big Planet, my guess is you're probably going to go with the plushie anyways because you're buying all that DLC no matter what. See, you're going to buy the season pass. Exactly. You're going to buy whatever. So I don't know. My thing is, in some cases, I do recall rarity of certain special editions from certain stores being worth something.
Right, yeah, like some stores will cut exclusive deals. Like, hey, you can only get that one here. So if you go to Walmart, you're not going to get it. You're going to get a completely different.
Or everybody else gets the normal version, but only like Target or Walmart or wherever gets the special edition. And that is fine. I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with the every single store has a different edition. Because then it forces you, like, and that's what Halo did. And it was like, if you get it, you get it at Best Buy, it's whatever. But if you get it at GameStop, it's whatever. And it was one of those things where I was like, I just want the friggin' game.
Yeah, I don't care. Just give me the game.
Just give me the game. Like, I'm not in it for whatever random DLC you can give me. Just
I don't want this edition. I don't want that edition. Just give me the game. Yeah. That's it.
So I don't.
Yeah. So that's that's that with day one and the exclusive DLCs.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where I like. If it's a game, I'm usually definitely leaning more towards no. On consoles and stuff, do I think it would be cool having, like, a day one Xbox One? You know, where it says, like, day one whatever on the Xbox controller and stuff?
They did have the stuff like that.
That's what I mean. What I'm saying, those ones are cool.
Day one consoles.
My PS4 is a day one, and
all straight up insignia as day one.
Yeah, like, my PS4 says nothing on it. Like, it's like, you wouldn't know.
Right, yeah, it's basically how, like, those, was it, the anniversary edition of PS4s, they only made so many.
13,000 something, whatever, because like, if it's stuff like that, then
that's fine, you know, because you can't just, you know, run up to Walmart or Best Buy or GameStop and just get it.
Right, I mean, you know it's a collector's edition console, but I'm saying, like, you know, like, when the N64 came out, it was, you went and bought the gray N64. Right, but then like later on, they came out with like the colored ones and things like that, and it's like, you know, I think the whole commodities of video games have changed. Like, I don't know that when they release like a new PS4, even like slim models and stuff, none of these things make me want to buy a new one.
Unless it actually does something different, then okay.
Exactly. That's the thing, right? It's like the PS4 Slim, the PS4 is already pretty fucking small. Put it next to an Xbox One, it's small. To a PS3, put it next to a PS3 regular Slim, not a super Slim, but a regular Slim, and it's almost the same size.
Right?
Like,
yeah,
it's no power supply. Like, the Xbox One is huge, and it has a power supply. Yep. I'm not going to be rushing out to get like a blue PS4 or a clear PS4. I might get a clear PS4.
Like a shell thing, whatever, because how you can replace the plates or whatever. If they had something like that, I'll do that.
Yeah, I'd buy shells. I'd do that. Just as like long as it wouldn't void my warranty.
Right. Oh, no, I wouldn't think it is, because it's just that where the disc drive is or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
It's just that plate. Yeah. You can replace that.
Oh, you mean like the white one, like how you can get like a white one and panda your PS4 if you have a white PS4?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I totally, I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but it's one of those things, like, I remember when I was a kid wanting a clear Nintendo 64, like, so bad. It was the same thing. Well, the green one came with Donkey Kong, right?
Yeah, that was the Donkey Kong one.
Like, it was just one of those things, like, now I'm looking back, like, why the hell was I so infatuated with a translucent Nintendo 64? Yeah. Like, why did it matter to me so much?
Right.
But then Nintendo did it again, right? They did the GameCube in colors.
Yep.
And, you know, usually they were bundled with games, but it's just one of those things, like, either it's because I'm older, or, like, I think it has to be that I'm older. And I look at it and go... I look at things and go, one, it's my money that I'm spending. Like, it's not my parents' money. And if it was my parents' money, I would still not want them to do it now.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Because I'd be like, no, I have one. It works fine. Don't spend the money on it. It's a waste of time.
Time. Yeah.
The only time I think I could see myself ever wanting to do something like that with, like, a console is if I knew I had the money to buy it and save it.
Right,
it's such a long-ass investment, right?
Right.
And, like, I get it. If you watch the Kind of Funny Gamescast, if you watch, like, Colin and Greg Live or whatever and watch the studio, they have a wrapped 20th anniversary PS4 in the background. And I think it's cool that they're not opening it. But at the same time, I want to know what number they have. Because they're numbered. They're all numbered. Like, you could have, like, number 10 and not... I mean, I'm sure... You know, 1 through 100 probably is all Sony internal or whatever. But I mean, there's a chance that they could have like 101. You know, or like they could have whatever. I don't know.
Say, like, did they ever report if someone had the last one? Because I mean,
I don't know.
They could even have the last. They
could have the last one, right?
Yeah.
But I get that there's an element of leaving it unopened that keeps its value way high. But there's also the fact that you could, I don't know, open it, video it, and then re-shrink wrap it, and then and then seal it back up. And you could video that whole process. You could video the process of breaking the shrink wrap carefully, opening the box, looking at the number, closing the box, putting a shrink wrap on it, and putting like a sticker with a date on like a corner of the shrink wrap, not the box, so that like when you're watching the video, you know that it's been sealed again. And if you had pictures of it, you'd have reference points that, like, that's where the sticker was, and you could put a security sticker on it so that if it's tampered with or whatever. And then you could say, it was open so we could figure out what number it was. We know what number it is. This is how much we're selling it for, if we're selling it, and or this, we just want to keep it. Either that or they should have put a fucking number on the box.
Yeah.
Or, like, cut a little porthole in the box so you could see it.
I thought the number was on the console itself.
It is. So you would have to completely open
it. Oh, yeah, you would have to actually open it. Yeah,
that's what I mean. So you'd have to videotape yourself. If it was on the
box or something like that. Yeah.
Or like they had like the holes. Because Nintendo used to have the little holes cut through them so you could see the serial numbers. So you could
see,
Which I never understood why they did that. I could never really figure that out. Was it a security thing for stores? Because I know like Guitar Center, when you buy something that has a serial number, they're They're looking at the box and the receipt, because the receipt, when they scan the item, it scans the serial number as well, and it's printed on the receipt. So when you leave, they're checking the serial numbers to match your receipt.
So I wonder if it's like that. So if someone were to steal it, they could be like, okay, here, well, we have the number
that you have it, yeah.
System, yeah. So we could probably track it off of that to see if.
I mean, I haven't bought a new Nintendo product in so long. I don't even know if they still do it. I just remember that's what they used to do on the old ones.
I think now it's just on the box.
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah. Like most things nowadays. Most things,
yeah. Because
I think, like, yeah, on my
MacBook, there's just like a fucking sticker on the side of the box. And it's like the serial number, the Mac address number, mm-hmm. the Wi-Fi thing, and like the code number for the... whichever MacBook, you know, customization right. thing you have. Yeah.
All the specifics.
It's got whatever the code is to tell you that it's like what processor, what RAM, what hard drive, blah, blah, blah. Right.
That way it's easy to look up.
Yeah. Do you have any shout outs?
You know what? AOL.
You shout out AOL. We're gonna jointly shout out Nokia.
For their indestructible phones.
Indestructible phones.
You could throw that thing at a wall.
The Nokias were the N64s of cell phones.
Baseball. Nope. No shatters, nothing.
Yep.
Was indestructible. I'm pretty sure you could microwave.
No, I think you fine. Probably could.
Perfectly fine.
Probably true.
Those things. Yeah, so I think this is some pretty solid shout-outs.
Yeah.
AOL. Nostalgia and just the fact that you made a product that you could utterly destroy or attempt to destroy, and it wouldn't.
And nothing wouldn't is made like that anymore.
Oh, no. You drop something from, like, what?
Drop an iPhone from waist height, and it's broken.
Yeah. Shattered. Which, funny story is, when I opened up my Wii, I guess I opened it the wrong way, so the Wii and the gamepad fell on the ground. And I was like, oh, shit. But, I mean, they still work fine. But, I mean, it was, like, from the height of my bed, so it wasn't that high. Yeah, but yeah. I was like, shit.
I've done stuff like that.
I'm going to have to return it now, but no, it's still fine. Yeah, return it.
This one's broken. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they're still fine, but, yeah, so.
Yeah, I remember when I was getting one of my phones. It was my iPhone. My first iPhone was the 3G. This is my second iPhone. I kept it for, like, 5 years. But I remember being in the Apple store, and, like, he's setting it all up, and they put that, you know, that how they put that first piece of plastic on the phone?
Yep.
And now they print stuff on it, so you have to buy the stupid screen protectors because they know you have to remove it. It was just a piece of clear plastic. And I was like, cool. I was like, I don't have to buy one. And like, as he's setting up, he's like, and I'll just get rid of this. And it was like, and I was like, you motherfucker.
Fucker.
In my head, because I didn't want to say that to him. I was like, I needed that. That was a free, screen protector, man. So shout out to that guy. No, it's fine. I don't hold a grudge, as you can tell. But yeah, so that was oh my god, technology.
Right.
But I don't know. I think we've got shout outs. We talked a lot. I talked a lot.
Yep. I think we skipped our other topics.
We did. I apologize for ranting about Mac computers, everybody.
We'll update the next episode.
Yeah, we'll update ours. We'll go back to video games next episode. He'll have more time on the Wii U. I'll have more time doing some Xbox stuff. I actually put in a bunch of review code requests for some stuff, so we shall see what comes of it. I don't know that I'll find out by next week, but we might have something doing. So, and then obviously PAX East is coming up. I will be there. But yeah, so I guess that's it for episode 12 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast. And we will catch you
on the flip, son.